From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we continue this series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 25. Brethren, pray for us. This one morning in the year, we reserve to refresh your memory upon the subject of prayer for ministers, and we do most earnestly implore every Christian household to grant the fervent request of this text, first uttered by an apostle, and now repeated by us. Brethren, our work is solemnly momentous, involving weal or woe to thousands. We treat with souls for God on eternal business, and our word is either a savor of life unto life or of death unto death. A very heavy responsibility rests upon us, and it will be no small mercy if at the last we be found clear of the blood of all men. As officers in Christ's army, we are the especial mark of the enmity of men and devils. They watch for our halting and labor to take us by the heels. Our sacred calling involves us in temptations from which you are exempt. Above all, it too often draws us away from our personal enjoyment of truth into a ministerial and official consideration of it. We meet with many difficult cases, and our wits are at a nonplus. We observe very sad backslidings, and our hearts are wounded. We see millions perishing, and our spirits sink. We wish to profit you by our preaching. We desire to be blessed to your children. We long to be useful both to saints and sinners. Therefore, dear friends, intercede for us with our God. Miserable men are we if we miss the aid of your prayers, but happy are we if we live in your supplications. You do not look to us, but to our Master for spiritual blessings. And yet how many times has He given those blessings through His ministers? Ask then again and again that we may be the earthen vessels into which the Lord may put the treasure of the gospel. We, the whole company of missionaries, ministers, city missionaries, and students, do in the name of Jesus beseech you, brethren, pray for us.
Come close.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responded to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you free of charge a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As he continues this series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns begins an exposition of chapter 10. Again, the theme is the nature of saving faith. The Apostle Paul commences the chapter with an expression of his heartfelt desire for the people of Israel to be saved. Although Israel was God's chosen people, to whom the Old Testament scriptures were given, and through whom the Messiah came into the world, they place their hope of heaven upon their relationship to Abraham. As Paul emphasizes, this was a vain hope, for salvation is not by works or by ancestry, but by faith in Christ. Now Dr. Cairns introduces this message called Saving Faith and the Free Offer of the Gospel.
We commence reading at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in mine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yea, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. The great subject of Romans chapter 10 is saving faith and the free offer of the gospel. Now never forget that, because this obviously comes immediately after Romans chapter 9, with all its strong statements about predestination, foreordination, and all the things of that nature. I tried in dealing with Romans 9 to set those statements of Paul in their context, for they are in the context of a discussion, or rather a defense, of the gospel of justification by faith. They are not given as part of a theological lecture on the decrees of God. There has been more hot air used up in preaching about something that God says peculiarly little about, and with very good reason. Men want to obtrude into things that they have no right dealing with. We may take what God says about his decrees. I believe in those decrees. Rather, to use the wording of our confessional standards, I believe in that single, indivisible decree that we think of as a series of decrees. But let me say, having said that I believe what the Bible says about them, much of what men try to understand and explain is simply expressing their own necessary ignorance. Who can comprehend the incomprehensible God? Certainly not you, and even more certainly not I. We cannot do it. Paul was not giving a theological lecture. on the decrees of God. Paul was stating the truth to which no Christian should ever object. And in stating that truth, he made no bones whatsoever about the absolute sovereignty of God. But since he's dealing with it in the context of the gospel, of justification by faith alone in Jesus Christ, instead of coming to the conclusion, God is sovereign, predestination and election are eternal realities, therefore we don't need to preach and we don't need to pray, because it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. We don't need to will and we don't need to run. Instead of reaching those clearly foolish conclusions, the apostle immediately at the end of chapter 9 and through chapter 10 comes to this matter of saving faith and the free offer of the gospel, and he immediately sets out to prove his central point that the sin of unbelief excludes sinners from salvation. But faith in Christ, whether exercised by Jew or Gentile, will always and inevitably receive salvation. Last week we started off by showing that the sole instrument whereby man receives salvation is faith in Christ. Romans 9, 30 through 33. Now tonight we start in chapter 10 and follow that up by noting this, that nothing, not even sincere religious zeal, can take the place of personal saving faith in Christ. Paul starts this 10th chapter with a mighty expression of the burden of his heart. I would to God that everybody who studied theology, everybody who sought to understand something of the deep things of God, everybody who considered the eternal purpose of God, would be so burdened by what he learned as to be driven like Paul to his knees with a mighty passion for the souls of men and women. Let me tell you, if your view of the sovereignty of God robs you of a passion for souls, you do not have a true view of the sovereignty of God. If your notion about predestination and election either hardens your heart against exercising personal faith in Christ, or hardens your heart against praying that others may exercise saving faith in Christ, then you do not have anything like a biblical concept of the doctrine of God's sovereign predestinating and electing grace. When Paul came to consider these things, and this is very interesting, in chapter 9, and chapter 10, and chapter 11, in each chapter, as he deals with a different aspect of the sovereignty of God in the operation of the gospel, in each chapter he pours out his yearning over the souls that are perishing. In chapter 9 he went so far as to say, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Here in chapter 10, he says, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. How could it be any other way? Paul, as he told the Philippians, was an Israelite of the Israelites. He was born a Jew. He was bred a Jew. He was educated a Jew. He was raised a Jew. Judaism was in his very bones. How could he live among these people and then stand back with a hardened heart and a tearless eye as he saw them wandering down to hell? He couldn't do it. And I tell you, the sooner you and I learn something of Paul's passion for precious souls, the better. I think that's something that's sadly missing in all the so-called biblical studies and the so-called theological discussions of our day. It's something that's sadly missing in the praying and in the preaching of our churches. Paul says, my heart's desire. These are not words. These are not empty expressions. Says Paul, this is the very outpouring of my inmost soul. My heart's desire leads me to pray. Don't tell me you have a desire for souls if you never pray for souls. Don't say you have a love for the lost if you're never on your knees pleading with God for their salvation. Don't pretend that the gospel has softened your heart to see the needs of those who are perishing if you're not on your face before God, pouring out the very depths of your soul, Lord, that they might be saved. Do you understand what he's saying? The doctrine of predestination and election does not dampen, but rather it inflames a burden and a passion and a praying for the precious perishing souls of men and women. Paul says about these Jews that they were very zealous. If you go back to chapter 9 and verse 31, he says they pursued the law of righteousness. They pursued, followed after, is our translation. This is a word that is quite strong. They pursued it with vehemence, with vigor, with intensity, with zeal. We read now in chapter 10, verse 2, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now what he's saying here is, he's just said in the previous verses, faith alone is the instrument whereby you lay hold of salvation. The Jews were without that faith. Oh, but they had a zeal of God. Did they not have the scriptures revealed by the living God? They did. Did they not have a history and a heritage in the things of God? They did. Did they not give themselves to the worship of the one true and living God? They did. Did they not repudiate all idolatry and say, the Lord, our Lord, is one Lord? Yes, they did. And they had zeal. Paul says they have zeal. The Lord Jesus noted their zeal when he said to the Pharisees something, mind you, that he could not say of many a church member, something he couldn't say of many a denomination and many a congregation. He said to the Pharisees, you would compass heaven and earth to make one proselyte, to make one convert. That's zeal. We have a lot of people who can criticize the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are open for a lot of criticism. And we have a lot of Christians who can criticize the ancient Jews. But there's a great deal of hypocrisy in the criticism. For we have people who say they know better and they believe better, and they wouldn't cross the street to give a tract to a dying man. They do nothing to help in the outreach of the gospel. It's as if their hands are palsied and their lips are stuck and their mouth is dumb. They had no interest in reaching the lost. And we criticize the Pharisees? I tell you, there's going to be many, many a surprise in the judgment day. The kingdom of God is not in word. It's not in mere profession. It's not in empty statements. It's not in verbosity. It's in the vigor of a divine reality. Jesus said, yes, you'd compass this heaven and this earth to make one convert. Paul says they have a zeal. But it was not a zeal that came from truth. That's the tragedy.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.